This is The Guardian.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This week I'm in Northamptonshire with our producer Maz, where a by-election has been called after the Conservative MP Peter Bone was suspended from the House of Commons for bullying and sexual misconduct. Allegations he denies. But on the 15th of February, people in the constituency of Wellingborough will be going to the polls. The area voted 62% in favour of Brexit, and some people we meet are unbothered by any suggestion that leaving the EU has failed.
I want Britain to be Britain.
What happens if you get a much poorer Britain?
We were poor before we were out of it, so...
The area also has serious issues with poverty, county lines and knife crime.
Over the space of around 6 weeks, there was multiple stabbings. The last one that happened was literally just up there.
So, at a time when trust in politicians is at an all-time low, can Labour win this seat? Will it be the Conservative candidate, who's also Peter Bone's girlfriend? Or will Reform UK put a fatal dent in the Tory vote? I'm John Harris, and you're listening to Politics Weekly UK for The Guardian.
So as you see, so this is an amnesty bin, and we dispose of sharp objects and stuff in there.
Our first stop is with Rav Jones, the co-founder of Off The Streets.
So as you'll see, kit's placed inside. And
show us what's in it. It's like a you can make a tourniquet basically.
Indeed,
with what's in it.
Yeah. You've got chest seals, you've got trauma dressing.
They're a community group who provide first aid kits for stabbings and run school workshops to warn about rising knife crime.
As you said, the tourniquet is right there. And these are all things that we fundraise for, and then we place them across the community, Northamptonshire.
So, yeah. What a thing, though.
Yeah.
Like, it's part of your regular sort of community first aid facilities.
Literally, yeah.
You know, an innocent like me would say, well, you have a defibrillator.
Yeah.
But the point is, you also have a stock of emergency bleed control kit.
Indeed, yeah, definitely. Right.
Rav has lived in Wellingborough all his life, and he devotes a lot of his spare time to community work.
Where are we going to go?
Well, first location I may take you is a little bit around Queensway, because already in Queensway.
He drives us around the area and explains how cuts to services have had a huge impact, especially on young people. Why do you think it is, here and elsewhere, let's be honest, there's been that increase in knife crime?
So, in views from the youths that I speak to within our community, it's lack of activities for them to do. It's lack of things for them to do. Youth centres and stuff is a massive, massive one that they always seem to bring up, that there's been massive cuts on that, and that needs to be something that needs to sort of come back and help.
The point is, they say that...
The youth say this, yeah.
You say that themselves, right?
The youth say that themselves.
So that's not a point being made by somebody up there like a journalist or a politician.
Nope.
As a matter of daily experience, they'll say, there used to be a youth centre here and there isn't anymore, right?
Indeed,
and
yes.
Idle hands, you know.
100%.
You've got to find something to fill your time.
100%, yeah.
Wow.
This is from the youth. It's nothing to do with my personal view. My personal view is that as well, to be honest. There is lack of that because when I was growing up, we had it.
We pull up outside a former youth centre, which has fresh-looking murals across the front, but doors that are bolted and windows that are boarded up.
This is a community centre which was shut down some time ago. We're looking probably about 10 years ago. I used to come to this youth centre as well.
You yourself used to come?
Yeah.
How do you feel standing outside looking at it now?
Well, it's weird because it closed up. Like, I remember when it was open and you were buying small little sweets and stuff like that, and now it's just closed.
And how often was it open?
Like every day.
Whoa. Into like, the evening.
Yeah.
All. But it's miserable, isn't it? It's sad. Because this isn't much to ask, is it? Exactly. That you have a youth centre. Mm. You can tell it's not really much to ask because you had it up to a point. It was here, exactly, right? It wasn't. Yeah. It wasn't some impossible dream. It's just part of everyday life, and then someone snatched it away.
Yes, it's just gone.
Yeah, yeah. Who now presents a weekly podcast with Ed Balls?
And it's somehow not yet quite answerable for the damage that he did, in my opinion.
I mentioned politics and politicians to Rav, but he seems reluctant to talk about any of that. So when we get back in the car, ask him why.
I don't do politics.
But does that mean you don't vote?
I don't vote. Why should I vote?
Because, well, A, because it's all we've got, right? B, because if enough people vote the right way, you do get things like the NHS
but what is the right way? What is the right way?
At the moment, I would argue.
Yeah.
Something different from what we've had for 14 years. Because look at the mess people like you are trying your best to deal with.
Nothing can be solved like that. It just won't work. Like maybe if everything goes in the right way, but politically, I'm not.
You just don't see it. You don't see that carries the possibility of that sort of change. That doesn't.
No, we don't.
Like
no, we don't. Like we just don't look at it like that. We just look like a lot of people don't find that trusting the authorities is correct. So the community needs to stand up and support itself.
Our next stop is a community centre that Rav tells us is close to shutting down because of funding cuts.
Yeah, we're in Hemmingwell. We're just at the Hemmingwell Community Centre. So we're going to take a walk around there. We'll get to meet another community leader within this area, particularly.
It's a big neighbourhood. A lot of people live here. Indeed, you can tell looking at it, there's a lot of housing here,
indeed,
right?
Indeed, yeah. So, yeah, we'll take a look. We'll go around. Just behind us, this used to be a community centre many years ago. It then became a pub. And then now it's a kindergarten. So, yeah. And this is Cam. He's one of the community leaders.
Nice to meet you.
Come on through.
Thank you.
So what's your role here?
I work with the kids running sessions in that room there. There's a fitness kind of gym and a music studio.
Okay.
And then we've got food bank in here.
Inside the centre, crates full of food are spread across the floor and people are turning up with empty bags, filling them with whatever they need. We meet the manager, Katie, and some of her volunteers. Obviously, need for food, right, is going up and up and up and has been for ages. What kind of things in people's lives are doing that? Why is need going up?
Cost of living. Gas, electric, council tax, everything else is going up. No benefit money changes.
Right.
A lot of people are living on, I'll be truthful, a lot of people on this estate rely on benefit money. That's staying here and everything's rising.
Right.
So it's the same old. The benefits are, well, it'll put it up a little bit, but then everything else is going up that much.
Yeah. We used to do 60 crates. We probably do about 40 now, and we have to end up making more. It's not, we're not getting enough food in.
Christ, you've got the worst of all worlds in that sense. So what, that need goes up, but the amount of food you've got to give people is going down?
Yeah. So people don't have enough to give?
Yeah.
And why is that? That's another thing about people being hard up, that they can't donate as much.
Well, we pay for our food. It comes from Fair Share. We have to pay for ours.
They're not getting the food in from the supplier, so they can't send as much to us. It's a bit of a vicious circle.
So, you're going to vote in the by-election in 2 weeks?
No, don't do politics.
Yes, still, I like that one.
You're voting, it makes no sense. He's not registered.
So really, you don't vote?
No.
Do you know what? I did. I was a stickler, right? Yeah. Always voted. Women threw themselves under horses many years ago to get the woman's vote, right? Yeah. Now, I think they're all a load of beeps, and they all say this and they all say that and sit there on their multi-million pound pay packets, never lived on a council estate in their life. So
now hold on a minute though, right? So the deputy leader of the Labour Party, who will be the deputy prime minister, is Angela Rayner, right? Who grew up in poverty, brought up by a mum on benefits, who couldn't read actually, right? And became a mother when she was 15, 16. She's different, right?
And she's probably
and
one
so
out
just
of the.
Just the very fact that she might be there might be a reason for you to go and vote for something different.
One out of the.
But just to make that small difference.
Yeah.
Because because she's proof that they didn't all go to public school, and they do. Some of them do know how some people live, right?
Yeah, some of them do.
Am I convincing
you
to vote by saying that?
No.
Okay. Thank you for talking to us.
Thank you.
In the back of the centre is the gym where Cam mentors young people. What are the kinds of stories that you see time and again?
Being moved from pillar to post, losing trust in not only people but organisations, because there's so many different organisations in and out of their lives. One lad that I'm close to started off in Kettering when I first got to know him. Then he got moved to Bradford and then back down to here to Rushton, but previously he had been as far as wide, like to London, Manchester. He's been all over the place.
Just care placements.
Yeah, yeah, been all over the place and never felt settled at all. So that's the story of a young lad basically just going through the system and not trusting anyone and not feeling never settled.
Okay. Now, from what I gather, this community centre might close, is that right? It's got real problems with funding, is that right?
It's got real problems financially, basically. A shortfall of what the trustees and the users of the centre have to provide is a lot for a community centre. It's not a business, you know. No one really charges big money here to use the functions, the rooms and stuff. So that's the struggle we're facing now. And not only us, up and down the country, I speak to guys who run massive projects in Nottingham, in Hull, boxing gyms, etc. They're facing the same thing.
The councils haven't got any money. That's another part of the story, right?
Well, there's cuts. There's cuts to everything, isn't there? Council cuts, national cuts, this cut, that cut. Everyone.
Are you going to vote in this by-election?
I've never voted, man.
See, this is Wellingborough for you. We don't got time for that. Yeah,
because the point is, I can't stand here and high-handedly say, well, you really ought to vote for this reason and that reason. Do you know what?
Yeah. We don't know who's right. We have to just depend on ourselves as a community. Yeah.
In the afternoon, we're meeting Ben Habib, the Reform UK candidate.
Yeah, that's good. 3 o'clock. No, we'll have a walk around the town. It'd be good. Lovely.
On our way into town, we spot a house with a poster for Labour's candidate, Jen Kitchen, and try our luck.
I'm really sorry to bother you. We work for The Guardian.
Yes?
We're in town to cover the by-election.
Right.
The first thing we saw walking up here was your Labour poster. Can we talk to you for 1 minute?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, if that's all right.
Yeah.
So we've just walked past your house and seen a Labour poster there. You're a Labour Party member.
Yes.
How long have you been in the... this is like the Spanish Inquisition. How long have you been a member of the Labour Party?
I think it's about 40 years,
is
to
it?
Be honest, yeah.
Now, that traditionally, that's a very lonely vacation in Wellingborough. I wouldn't imagine there are many Labour...
I was in London as well when I first joined.
But this, yeah, you know, this is not a Labour area we're in now, is it?
It should be, and it has been. 97 it was. So it was, I think we had two elections where it was Labour, where it was a joy to have the support actually followed.
Yeah, but then Peter Bone ended up with this whacking great majority of 18,500.
Yeah, I've got no idea how or why.
Oh, I know the answer to that. Well, that was some of that was the Brexit effect, wasn't it? This is a very Leavey place on the whole.
Yes,
and
yes,
he was
again
a very
on the
Brexit-y
whole.
MP.
Yeah.
When you said Labour should be Labour. Yeah. Why did you say it should be a Labour place?
Because it's not exactly a wealthy town, and one would think that a lot of the areas in it would harbour Labour supporters. But, you know, when you go round, it's not quite as straightforward as that. Many people do support the Conservatives and have done for a while.
Right.
So, but then Wellingborough does seem to follow the national trend. In 97, for instance, there was a big swing towards Labour nationally. And lo and behold, in Wellingborough, it was the same. Then slowly but surely that was eroded. And, you know, at the last election, that's why Bones got such a big majority, because in the end, the national majority for the Tories at the last election was huge.
Yeah. And are you out knocking doors now?
Yeah. But, well, I'm not canvassing as I'm leaflet dropping mostly. And I will work on the election day, which is 15th.
Do you think Labour will win the by-election?
It's close. Yeah. It's from what I've seen, this, well, there's a Tory leaflet down there that actually shows a poll which puts Labour just ahead.
So they're trying to put the frighteners on their core vote.
Yes, and also they're worried about reform.
You got any reform leaflets?
Yep.
It's always good to meet a person who's got all the leaflets, you see.
That's one. There's been hundreds. Right, this is hundreds.
We're meeting him later on today.
Yeah, there's hundreds of those.
Slash income tax on the working middle classes, slash taxes on this. This is at a time of when public finances are in a state. Yeah. Slash cheap imported labour stroke immigration. Yeah. Ditch net zero. Slash business. A lot of slashing going on here.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was no such thing as petty crime. Stop illegal immigration. The Conservative Party has delivered our country into peril.
Yes.
I'm glad we met you.
I've probably just thrown a load out. He's sent loads of stuff around and he's in
so
the...
So they're getting bankrolled. There's a lot of money being spent on the reform campaign.
Yes, absolutely. He's more active than the Tories.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. I've had far more leaflets from reform than I have from the Tories.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I suppose if you just superficially looked at how safe a Tory seat this seems to have become, you might make all sorts of assumptions about it. Because we're still sort of broadly in the south of England and so on. This was somehow a relatively affluent place. And it's not, clearly. You know, I feel we're sort of on the economic average point somehow of England, or Britain and all its problems at the moment. The first thing that you see as you walk up to the main street is what used to be the post office, this vast, quite grand building. It's just all boarded up. See, I think this is the biggest sort of underlying problem for the Conservative Party after 14 years in charge. Like, if your record amounts to anything, this presumably is somewhere in the mind of some Conservative voters will be this question. If you've been in charge for 14 years, what have we got to show for it? Because a hell of a lot, I mean, arguably most English towns of this size just bear all the signs of decay and problems. And so Rishi Sunak, appearing on their TV regularly, saying, stick with me, the plan's working. This doesn't feel like it, does it?
Excuse me.
Can we ask you a quick question?
Go on then.
How's Wellingborough doing?
Well, without swearing, not very good.
Go on.
It's basically shit.
You'll know there's a by-election here in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah.
And how do you feel about it? What?
Well, in my mind, there's 11 candidates. Why?
One of them is
free country to stand for parliament if you want.
Illegal, any one of them's been doing illegal bits. So
well, we don't know, but
he was
suspended from the House of Commons.
Exactly. So does that give you any confidence to want to vote for any of them? To be honest,
well, the official opposition, as you know, is the Labour Party, right? They're the alternative,
yes,
as they would present themselves to the Conservatives. Mm-hmm. Are you minded at all to vote for them?
People who are either going to vote Labour or Conservative because they're the main ones and they think they're the only ones going to do any good, but perhaps everybody needs to vote for another one just to see, that may be a bit better.
Like reform?
Do you know about
reform, UK?
No.
That's sort of Nigel Farage's lot.
Well, do you know what? I used to listen to him and I just think that man talks a lot of bloody sense and he weren't that one when he was with someone else. Was
UKIP.
It Liberal or something?
UKIP.
Yeah, I didn't
but
know.
They were the ones who sort of made
sense.
The case for Brexit, which arguably has not turned out to be that great.
No, we're out of it now, aren't we?
How do you feel about that?
Great.
Do you?
I want Britain to be Britain.
What happens if you get a much poorer Britain?
Well, it's poor now.
It'll get poorer.
We were poor before we were out of it, so...
Yeah, but we weren't facing things like much more expensive food and businesses having a terrible time.
Growing their own and doing bits and bobs like that. We're all got lazy. We're eating on takeaways.
You've got time to grow your own food?
Well, yeah.
I haven't. So you're both all right with Brexit? Brexit still strikes you as a good idea?
Yeah.
Okay.
Keep Britain, Britain.
And if we're talking about national things, what about the migrants? That gets in my head.
It's migrants.
Them that coming on the boats.
That really bothers you, but in the midst of not being able to make ends meet and the cost of living being impossible and so on.
But what about our own people who have fought for our country and they can't get a home and they're living in the streets?
Yeah, but that's because
not enough
money's been spent on housing.
Exactly.
It's not because of people arriving here on small boats.
No, but then they're giving them them, but why don't they give their own ex?
They're not giving them them. They put them in hotels or camps.
Exactly.
But why are they not helping the soldiers, the ex?
I agree. That's terrible thing. But I don't know what it's got to do with small boats. So you just don't know who you're going to vote for?
Not yet.
Right. Well, you got 2 weeks to make your mind up.
I know.
Well, that's a sort of sobering, slightly depressing reminder, isn't it? Of the large chunk of the electorate that sits outside our world, you know, working for The Guardian. It shows you really what the Labour Party has to deal with. The Labour Party wants to win an election and get a majority in the Commons. You know, it has to convince a sizable number of people who think like that. And that's hard, right? That's just the cold reality of how politics works. Partly because of our electoral system, it has to be said, but nonetheless.
Hello.
Hello.
So how long have you... are you from Wellingborough? How long have you lived here?
I came in 2005.
Did you?
Yeah.
Where were you before that?
South Africa.
Were you?
Yes.
Okay, and you, sir, how long have you lived here?
5 years.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm from Kenya.
Are you?
Yeah.
Tell me about Wellingborough. What's it
well,
like?
Well, Wellingborough is a very small, good town. Very secure, safe town, you know, to live in.
You like living here?
Yeah.
Do you think you'll
stay? Yeah, we stay here. This is where I'll be spending the rest of my life, you
really?
Know. I think so, yeah. Yeah.
You don't know that because I like it here, but I won't mind to move either.
Do you work?
Yes.
What do you do?
I work in a warehouse, DHL.
Right. Do you work, sir?
Yeah.
What do you do?
I'm a delivery driver.
For who?
Amazon.
Okay.
Yes.
Do you know about the by-election that's happening here in 2 weeks' time?
Yeah.
Are you going to vote?
Yes, of course, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you know who you're going to vote for?
I've been voting for Conservative, but right now I've dropped down. I'm pro Conservative. I know you're surprised about that, but...
Tell me, first of all, why you did vote Conservative.
Yeah, first of Brexit. Yeah, Brexit.
You were in favour of Brexit?
Yeah. And there's a lot of things they were doing very well then. And now I see there's a lot of, you know, dramas and, you know, I lost my trust on them anyway. Yeah.
Are you going to vote?
Do you know what you're going to do?
Conservatives.
You'll carry on voting Conservative?
Yeah, because I like Rishi Sunak, and I think he has not been in power long enough to make a change, and I believe he's going to make a change.
What do you like about him?
I just like his character. He's very educated. I like him. I think if he's in power for long enough, he'll change things.
Okay. How do you feel about the future? You got a young child and so on. You must think about that.
I think our future in the UK is good, it's great. So we are taxpayers, we're just working hard, you know, to make the UK great, you know.
I think that's really interesting, you see, that you hear people moaning about migrants and then you meet someone who actually is a migrant. And no question, do you work? Yes, straight away. Nominally self-employed, works for Amazon.
That's not the type of migrant they're moaning about.
I know, I disagree.
They're not going to come over on boats. That's the type of migrant
I don't agree with that, you see. I think when people start moaning about that, there's a generalised, in certain cases, there's a sort of generalised dislike of difference and the idea of people from overseas and so on. But the point is, you know, unavoidably, people like that, sooner or later, have to realise that they're the people who keep everything running. We contacted Labour and the Conservatives ahead of our trip to see if they could meet us for an interview in Wellingborough, but they couldn't. So we're on Sheep Street to meet the candidate who seems to be making the most noise, Ben Habib from Reform UK.
gives us a quick history lesson.
And this hotel on the left that we'll come up across, the Hind, used to be frequented by Charles I and Oliver Cromwell. You know, it's quite remarkable, isn't it? But it's suffering in the same way that so many towns are across the United Kingdom. I mean, what we need to do is to repurpose the town centre. That comes partly with slashing business rates, so it's not prohibitively expensive for retailers on lower margins who are competing with online retailers who have, you know, no business rates. Make it cost effective for them to reoccupy, number one. So cutting business rates, which is a tax on trying to do business. It's not a tax on turnover. It's not a tax on profit.
Yeah.
It's literally a tax on opening up.
An even bigger hole in local government finance than you've got already if you do that.
You know, the problem, the whole narrative, we're digressing, but whole narrative around taxation is, if we cut taxes, we can't afford to do it because we haven't got enough money as it is. Or the reason we haven't got enough money is because taxes across the board are too high. And we've ended up hollowing out our economy.
So you think if we drop taxes, the tax take goes up?
At the moment, absolutely. At the moment, what we've got is a post-World War II high taxes as a proportion of GDP. And we've also got borrowing, national borrowing, at a post-World War II high. The combination of those two is suffocating the economy. What we have to do is cut taxes, which will generate growth.
Okay.
And off the back of that growth, you then will get, the Exchequer will collect more tax.
Okay. Let me ask you a politics question.
Yeah, go on.
What's it all about? Your candidacy, reform.
Yeah.
What are you trying to do?
I am of the view that over 40 years of EU membership and a progressive march by our governing bodies towards what they regard as the global betterment of the world has come to mean that British national interests and what's good for the British people is continuously and constantly put in second place.
Okay, but in terms of standing in the middle of a political system which, as you and I both know, is largely dominated, certainly in England, by the Conservative and Labour parties.
Correct. First past the post protects their position.
Okay, we both know that.
Yeah.
What's the game? What do you want to achieve?
Well, I think that, the Labour Party didn't exist in the middle of the 19th century, and they became a force. And I think there's time for a new political force. What I'm hearing on the streets, it's a bit like, you know, I know you covered the 2016 vote before it happened. And you got a feeling for how the political sands were shifting back then.
I did.
And I'm getting a feeling on the streets again that people are angry. People know when they are suffering.
You want net zero migration.
Yeah.
One in, one out, that's called. I think that's a phrase used on the Reform website,
it's
actually.
It's a turn of phrase that Richard's adopted. I think it's a play on,
Are you distancing yourself from it? Are you all right with one in?
No, I'm all right with it.
Let me ask you this, though. Yeah. There is a tension there with you and your candidacy, forgive me, in the plain facts. Obviously, you're an immigrant yourself.
I'll tell you what I am. I don't know what I am, but I'll tell you who I am. My father's Punjabi and Pakistani.
Yeah.
My mother is British, blonde, blue-haired, born in Isleworth.
Yeah, where were you? Sorry, I wouldn't usually ask people these questions, but given that you talk about immigration, it's relevant. Where were you born?
I was born in Karachi.
And how long were you in Karachi before you came to the UK?
13.
Right, so you're an immigrant.
So at what point, you define an immigrant for me?
Oh, you just do, someone who spent at least the first, 10, 15 years of their life, perhaps all the first year, who was born overseas and came here, right?
Well, now, in that case, if that's your definition of an immigrant, I am an immigrant.
Would you have got, forgive me, this again is sort of blunt language, would you have got in, would your family have got in under reforms policy?
I was put on my mother's passport when I was born, and the first passport I got was a British passport.
Is this by-election?
Yeah, this is Britain First.
Oh, this is these are the successors to the BNP.
Yeah. Hi, how are you?
Good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you.
So we're just talking here to Ben Habib as Britain First, who are fascists, essentially, come by with their tannoy system. It says stop the boats, deport illegal immigrants, reject career politicians. Right, Britain First have driven on wherever they're going. So what's your definition of an immigrant?
My definition of an immigrant is someone who comes to the United Kingdom with no British blood, as it were. So,
what does that mean?
So my mother's English, so my father's Pakistani. So I don't see myself as an immigrant. I'm proud of my Pakistani heritage, but I was effectively born British. I was on my mother's passport. I've feel British. I was educated, all my formative years were in the United Kingdom, you know, so I feel British. But I think if someone comes across to the United Kingdom with both parents having been Pakistani, for example, having been educated until they left university, for example, in Pakistan, then they're an immigrant.
But you would agree that they can aspire to and achieve Britishness by coming here.
Yeah, okay, so let's just discuss that, because that's the key issue here, isn't it, from a social perspective. Is that where you're going with this?
It's an interesting question about whether one can be an immigrant and then move, in this instance, to Britain and become British.
So, okay, let's just get a few things straight. I'm not against immigration, okay, number one. I'm half Pakistani, half British. The United Kingdom's history is steeped in going abroad, meeting people, adopting new forms of culture, interacting, exporting our culture as well as importing foreign cultures. I've got no problems with any of that.
Yeah.
The problem I have is with the speed at which immigration has taken place, in part because of the economic damage I believe it does to the United Kingdom, which we've touched on when we talk about undercutting our labour.
There's statistical evidence for that. I mean,
you don't need statistical evidence to know
migrants are net contributors to the economy.
No, but they're not. But they're not, you see, because when you take that very two-dimensional approach looking at GDP, what you're not taking into account is the burden on infrastructure, the burden on the NHS, the burden on house building.
The burden on the NHS of immigration.
Of course there is. Last year,
you and I both know that if there weren't people from overseas working in the NHS, the NHS would be even more on its knees than it is now.
But if you deny the fact that 750,000 people don't put a burden on the demand for housing, don't put a burden on the demand for education, don't burden the NHS, that simply doesn't add up.
I don't think you can talk in the language of burdens when, for example, without people from overseas, social care would be in a terrible mess. There'd be lots of people whose old age would be impossible.
Are you suggesting that we are incapable as a nation of training the people we need to train to operate our NHS, to operate our social care system, to operate our teaching system? Are you saying as a nation we are fundamentally incapable of doing that and that we must rely on immigrants? So broken are we as a race?
In the context of an ageing society alone, yes, you have to look at people coming from abroad to work in our public services. Yes. No, that doesn't preclude the fact that, of course, it's right that there should be very, very large numbers of British-born nurses and doctors and orderlies and teachers and teaching assistants and everything else. But I know from my own experience, right, every time one of my kids, for example, was sick before Christmas, everyone we met in the course of a 5 or 6 hour visit to the hospital had been born overseas, right? I know that
but
for a fact.
But that's not cause and effect. Just because everyone you experience had been born overseas doesn't mean that you therefore need to have everyone born overseas.
I didn't say everyone. You were not only a member but a donor to the Conservative Party. When did that change and why?
So that changed in 2019. I watched Theresa May make a complete hash of Brexit. Right. And I was mouthing off in my boardroom with a PR guy who was present, who said, well, do you want to meet Nigel Farage? He's setting something up called the Brexit Party, and the rest is history.
Okay. And would you ever go back? I mean, the Conservative Party might change after the next election. Braverman, for example, might be the leader, or Kemi Badenoch might be the leader.
The Conservative Party is incapable of becoming a Conservative Party. The Parliamentary Party is not a broad church. It's a fundamentally divided church. It's divided between the One Nation Conservative MPs, who were mostly Remainers, mostly large statist, pro-global, supranational institutions governing the British people. Yeah. That's that lot. And then you have whatever they call the 5, 6, 7 families. I've lost count. I mean,
They're a lost cause, all of them, as far as
I think the Conservative Parliament, if you're still a Conservative Parliamentary MP and you believe in Conservative values, you're in the wrong party.
Okay. And you want to destroy them?
The reason I joined Reform UK was to obliterate the Conservative Party.
That's good. And last question. What's success here in 2 weeks' time?
Success is winning.
For you?
Is winning, of
is
course.
Getting, someone told me he was getting 10%.
Well, if I get 10%, that's a success. But I want to win. I'm not here to lose. I'm not here to make a mark. I'm here to win.
Okay, great. The time we spent in Wellingborough gives me a very familiar sense of a gap between all the noise and melodrama of politics and politicians and people tirelessly trying to hold where they live together, many of whom have very little interest in the by-election and what it might mean. that disconnection, it seems to me, ought to really worry people in Westminster. But for now, I want to thank Rav Jones from Off the Streets, Cam Palmer from The Compound, and Katie Knight at the Hemingwell Community Centre, as well as Jonathan and Joe from the Wellingborough Eco Group, who we spoke to but who didn't make it onto this week's episode. This week's instalment of Politics UK was produced by Frankie Toby and Eli Block. The music is by Axel Cacoutier, and the executive producers are Maz Ebtahaj and Nicole Jackson.
This is The Guardian.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
How can a people-first approach to higher education transformation improve success? An EY report suggests that taking emotional and psychological factors into account is just as important as the technology. Six factors drive this human-centered approach: leadership, inspiration, care, empowerment, investment, and collaboration. Get these right, and they can more than double an organization's chance of transformation success. Learn more about people-first transformation at theguardian.com/transforminghighereducation. This message was paid for by EY.